This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 19th, 2020, the second Sunday after Epiphany, by Father William Doc Holliday.
We boast the name of the Lord our God. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those are the words from Psalm number 20, Psalm 19, if you use an older English version. We boast of the name of the Lord our God. We boast because our Lord hears us. He hears us when we pray. He hears us through his Son at the direction of the Holy Ghost. We should boast in this. Boast in a manner that is not in a worldly and prideful sense, but boasting in what he does for us. This is what we should appreciate when we think about prayer, because prayer is how we communicate those things that we desire that God will do in our lives, and we boast in the fact that he will listen to us. I want to start this out by kind of jumping tracks in what a lot of people think about prayer, is that God is like the holy Santa Claus who just sits up there and waits for you to ask him for things, and he will give them to you because you're just all that. That is not the case. That is not the case. We have to have a proper comportment before God. We have to have the proper attitude of prayer before he hears us. We should boast and we should be assured that God hears us. Even hearing our prayers, we should pray for that. Here's a prayer, Psalm number 20, that is a prayer under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that teaches us things about praying. The first collect today, the prayer before we started Mass, it said that he will mercifully hear our supplications, those things that we ask him. When we ask God for things, you need to be assured, absolutely positive that you will receive them. If you ask in accord with his will, if you are in a proper state of grace. It's not just because he's at your beck and call. We are at his beck and call. And we have to appreciate that. This is when he answers our prayers. And the first part of that psalm speaks of, generally when we think of prayer, it's us asking God for things, us talking to God, giving thanks, not just asking for things necessarily, giving him thanks, confession, you know, not sacramental, but confessing our sins before him. It's all part of prayer, adoration. Those things are givens. And at the beginning of that prayer, the Holy Spirit lets us know that he's going to answer you as an individual. He takes each and every individual's prayers in consideration. The first verse in Psalm 20, the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. The Lord protect you. Not everybody, you. Now, the context of this prayer is they're praying for the king who's about to go into battle. Now, a lot of people disconnect with stuff like, well, we're not going into battle and I'm not a king. The Holy Spirit is telling us that it's not about who's being written about. It is the example of the fact that the Holy Spirit answers each and every one of our prayers individually. The church is made up of people who have an individual, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what the church consists of. Individuals who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when they get together, then all things are well. Because everybody's in accord with his will. Everybody's in conformity. That's why I disdain this modernist term, Saint fill-in-the-blanks Catholic community. College Park is a community. Orlando is a community. A bunch of different people with a bunch of different beliefs who can live peacefully one with another. They have some systems set up. The church is not a community. There's not, should not be, people in here who believe a bunch of different things and live peacefully one with. We're Catholics. We're all supposed to believe the same thing. This is our lot. This is conformity with Christ's will. This is being a member, not like a member of a club, an integral part biologically of the body of Christ. It's very individual. We indeed live as individual part of a body, but it's not this abstract community thing. I mean, some parishes are just negating the term parish or church in their time. St. Fill in the Blanks, Catholic community. Or if they still stick parish on there, St. Fill in the Blanks, Catholic parish community. That's redundant. It makes sense. They got through that community in there because that just makes us feel so warm and fuzzy. It's the body of Christ. It's a church filled of individuals who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, not making their own decisions. God answers particular people for particular intercessions, particular intentions. You got to be specific about your prayer. You just don't throw out these, these net prayers. Yeah? I mean, if it's the best you can do, you're pressed for time or something, you bless your meal. God, thank you for this food. Amen. Okay. Yeah, at least you prayed. It's kind of broad, kind of general. We don't want general prayers. We want particular prayers. Yeah? You get up in the morning. Now, I said about the prayer in Babel. I don't have to worry about that. I don't go back. Every single day our feet hit the floor, we are engaging in spiritual warfare. Every single day you are confronted with temptations to a lesser or greater extent. Got to pay attention to them. Be careful of them. They can make it fall, because when you fall into temptation, that's sin. And if we're honest with ourselves, we probably do that to a lesser or greater extent every single day in thought, word, and or deed. We have to ask particularly that we be kept from those things. Okay? You know your hot button issue. You know what you're struggling with. You know what the day brings. You got a meeting with somebody who you don't like. You know, a family member or a friend that you're not particularly fond of is going to be within the sphere of influence. That you need to pray about that. You need to pray about that beforehand, not afterwards, after you said things that you know you shouldn't have. We can prevent that by praying particularly. This is how we need to pray. That's when God will answer you as an individual. He emphasizes this whole particularity thing. May he send you help and give you support. Not a community, you. If you ask him personally, particularly. Okay? Another thing that helps, and this is something that a whole lot of people don't even ever take into consideration, because we don't hear a whole lot about it anymore, and we should, because the psalmist takes it for granted under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When he's talking about how assured we should be that God is going to answer our particular prayers, he says, as a given, as a presumption, may he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt offerings and your sacrifices. Again, we hear things like that in the Old Testament. Well, we don't bring animals to be killed anymore, so that doesn't apply to me. It most certainly does. It most certainly does. We bring offerings to God. We make sacrifices should. Historically, Catholics always have made sacrifices to God, going out of their way, works of supererogation, going over and above the bare minimums. God appreciates that. That's one of the reasons he will answer your prayers. As I said, the psalmist throws that out as a given. It is just taken for granted that you are going to bring offerings and make sacrifices for God because you want him to hear your prayer. You want to prove to him how much you truly want something. Okay? That psalm says, that psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, may he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Those things that we do that are over and above is what makes God appreciate. The Catechism teaches us that fasting and corporal works of mercy and penance are intimately connected to prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he gives his apostles authority over demons and over illnesses. And he sends them out and they have authority. And then a guy brings his son, who is possessed by demons. And yes, footnote, demons are real. They really possess people. Hell's real, all that good stuff. Yeah, it's real. He brings his demon-possessed child to Jesus. And he brings him to the apostle first and asks him to cast out the demons, and they cannot. Bring them to Jesus. And Jesus, if you read the passage, Jesus is annoyed at his apostles. And he casts out this demon, and they come over to, why couldn't we do it? Because these only come out with prayer and fasting. Fasting amplifies prayers. Works of corporal mercy, penance, amplify prayers. Because it proves to God how serious you are taking your prayers. When we pray, we're supposed to be importunate. We're supposed to continue to bother God. I've been praying about that for a couple weeks. I just stopped because he didn't answer me. You need to pray more. You need to pray more, and I can almost guarantee you that you're not fasting about this issue, or you're not giving alms or doing some other work of corporal mercy or penance, because those amplify. And every now and then, he doesn't answer because he knows what's best for us. And that's that whole, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a petition of the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done, not mine. I think I know what I want. I think I know what I need. But he might know better, because he's God and all whatnot. Okay? You just got to rely on that. That's a whole Catholic thing. To rely on him to answer our prayers in accord with his will, not ours. But let it be that those things amplify prayer. You know, my all thrown out. We do have to prove things to God. It is a necessity. Because that's what makes our prayers work. So giving and doing for God, imperative in our prayer life, to have him answer. I want to go somewhere where you don't hear about this a whole lot, hardly ever, if ever. God does not always answer your prayer. I didn't say he didn't hear you. I say he doesn't always answer. There are several things that will keep God from answering our prayers. Yeah. I already say it. You can imagine. I get phone calls, emails, texts, people sitting in the office. I've been praying about this for a long time. Well, are you fasting about it? You doing it? Well, no, but I've been praying about it. Not sufficient. You're not proving to God that you really want it. Okay? And then again, you always have to remember that thy will be done thing. You might not be answering because you are not asking for something that is beneficial for your soul. But a lot of times, it is because we're not fasting, we're not doing all that. The scriptures teach us explicitly, 20 different verses in scripture, Old and New Testament, 20 verses explicitly speak about when God will not hear your prayer. I always heard God always hears your prayers. He doesn't answer you. Because there are certain criteria that we need to meet for him to answer us. Being in a state of grace and asking properly. When our Lord Jesus Christ heals a blind man, he's called before the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of his day. And he is questioned over and over again about this one who made him be able to see. And he gets kind of sick of answering the same question over and over again. And he finally says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we know that God does not listen to sinners, but anyone who is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. That can kind of sound intimidating. We're all sinners, right? I mean, we all should be honest with ourselves and know that. It's not talking about just people who occasionally sin and then are repentant for that sin and sorry for that sin, contrite, in desire to amend their lives. He's not talking about it. He's talking about unrepentant sinners. God does not hear the prayers of unrepentant sinners. Oh, I live in this lifestyle. I commit this sin all the time, and there is no glimmer of hope on the horizon that I'm going to stop committing that sin. He is not going to hear your prayers. Not going to do it. You're not in a proper state of grace in this unrepentant world of sin in which you live. You have separated yourself from the grace of Christ by that sin. You've made a self-conscious decision that you are going to put yourself in a position where he's not going to hear what you have to say. We know that from Scripture. He will not listen to sinners. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself gives us a parable, and it's about prayer specifically. Tax collector, Pharisee, I'm so glad I'm not like this sinful guy over here. Yeah, I do this, I do that. But his comportment before God is inappropriate. And the tax collector just says, without being able, even lifts his eyes to heaven, Father, forgive me, I'm a sinner. He knows he's not worthy to even look at God. He's not worthy for God to hear. And what does our Lord say? He went down to his house justified, which means right with God, rather than the other. Now, we don't know that the Pharisees in any kind of rank sin. He just got a poor attitude of prayer, and God does not justify him. He does not look at him as righteous. These are the words of our Lord about prayer. So this nonsense about God hears all your prayers, if that was the case, our Lord Jesus Christ would be lying if he said that the Pharisee didn't go down to his house justified also. God does not always hear our prayers. We have to have a proper attitude of prayer before him. If you're in a state of mortal sin, he's not going to hear your prayers. That's why you need to pray hard for your loved ones and friends who you know are in mortal sin, because yours are the only prayers that God's going to hear for them. Okay? This is the import of prayer for others, intercessory prayer. And it doesn't always have to do with being in a state of mortal sin. The Catechism teaches, and I verbatim, if while we pray, the mind, instead of being fixed on God, is distracted, the tongue slurs over the words without attention, we should not therefore be at all surprised if God does not comply because of our negligence and indifference. If we are negligent or indifferent in our prayer, we're going to get exactly what he's going to reflect what we're putting forth if we are negligent and indifferent. We can't be negligent and indifferent. We can't be distracted in our prayers. We are human beings. We are often, always distracted. We've got to discipline ourselves to be attentive in our prayer. That will ensure God's hearing. And notice it doesn't say that he won't hear. It says not comply. And it doesn't say that he always won't. It says don't be surprised if he doesn't. You know, we've got to self-evaluate how we're praying. Yeah. Well, I say Hail Marys and I say the rosary for this. You're blowing through a rosary in 10 minutes. That's negligent and indifferent. You can't blow it through a rosary in 10 minutes. You say a rosary right, it's going to take you at least 15 to 20 minutes to say that rosary. You're blowing through the prayers, don't be surprised if he doesn't answer. Okay? This is one of those kind of lessons, you know, up to this point, well, maybe that's the case. Fix it. This is the whole Catholic deal. We're always trying to get a little bit better and understand a little bit more about how we are supposed to approach God. He lets us know how he wants us to approach him. He lets us know what he wants, how he wants things done. This prayer about praying. Pray particularly, very specific prayers. Just throw out those nets. Pray often and hard, without ceasing. Keep bothering him. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Keep knocking. And be in a proper attitude of prayer when you do it. Then you are assured. Then the words of this psalm, we boast in our God, because he answers us all the time, if we approach him properly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.